Good morning, and we welcome you to the International Mastermind Blog Talk Radio. We have with us our guest this morning, Ms. Deborah Thompson. She's going to speak this morning from the chapter of Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, Persistence. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Deborah. We do want to thank you for joining us on Blog Talk Radio this morning as we speak with Ms. Deborah Thompson. And this morning we will talk about the 8 factors of persistence.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Morning, good morning, and we do want to welcome you this morning to Blog Talk Radio, and this is The Masterminders, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Today we will be discussing persistence, and we have as our guest Ms. Deborah Thompson. Good morning, Deborah. And we do want to welcome you to the show this morning. Today we will be discussing the 8 factors of persistence, and we will also talk about how to develop persistence. This is going to be really great, coming from the president of the National Association of Black Women in Construction, Ms. Deborah Thompson. Good morning, Deborah. We do want to welcome you to today's show, the Saturday Morning Masterminders. I don't know what happened.
Okay, good morning. This is Sharon Jackson. I'm also a listener of the International Mastermind Show. Carol's already told us that we're going to be talking to Daryl Thompson this morning. And we're going to talk about persistence, part two. It's the second part of a conversation that we started last week. Persistence, the reason why Carol is so ready for us to talk about it is because she has started the Thompson Consultant Group. I'm opening up Carol's mic because I'm now talking about Carol. Carol's created a firm that builds up minority businesses, minority and majority businesses that go after the mega project to help them to create that persistence. And sometimes she not only helps them, advises them, she augments their staff to make sure, carry them over the hump to make sure that not only do they build up their confidence and being able to be able to carry out the functions to seamlessly be able to provide quality service, then she pulls back. It's not only the confidence, but also be able to develop those qualities of being able to provide the services. Well, you know what, Deborah? I heard your voice, and I'm so glad to talk to you this morning.
Thank you so very much.
So,
can you hear me now?
Go ahead.
I just wanted to know if you could hear me.
Absolutely, we can hear you. Carol started the conversation. Carol started the conversation. And, Carol, are you still on?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning.
Okay. Sounds great. Do you want to continue on?
What a pleasure this morning. Yes, I'm here. I'm listening. Go ahead, please.
Oh, okay. Well, Deborah, you know, what we wanted to talk to you about. Last week, you started the conversation about persistence. You know, that's one of the things that that small businesses, consultants, construction-oriented, and minority businesses have to develop that persistence. Because one of the things that we all know is that people that have contracts, they get used to working with one another. Anne would consistently say, and I hope I'm not going to mess this up, that people do business with other people that they know, trust, and like. So if they don't know you, and I'm not going to say they don't trust you, they just don't know you. So sometimes they're reluctant because we want to do business seamlessly, right? And
yes.
So what you are developing is that persistence so that people understand, I can know you, I can trust you, and whether I like you or not, we can do business. So we're going to talk about persistence today, staying on the road, because how many people have I talked to and have you talked to and said, I tried this for a year, I tried this for even 2 years. No one would do business with me. Well, sometimes it takes longer than that. So how would you, first of all, even before we start getting into the steps of persistence, how would you start talking to that person to even think about keeping their foot in the road?
Well, from my point of view, what I think, Carol, we should do is, along with being persistent, the person needs to be prepared. So get yourself, know your business in and out, know all of the aspects of it. So in your question, do you know what you're doing? The development of a relationship, especially with people that you don't know and that you have not been in the same sphere with them, people do business by a standardized process for the most part. So they're looking for certain things when we come to the table. So the first thing I say is to be prepared. And as we talk about being prepared, that is getting our own business office in order, okay? look at things in an organized way and present them that way. And present it the same way all of the time so it's not confusing. People, again, like I said, expect things to be in an organized fashion and in a certain way. They look at standards of procedures and processes. And those things are very important in the business world because we don't have time to reinvent things. That's why franchises work so well. And if you do things the same way over and over again, it becomes what we call persistence. And if you would like, I can go into the 8 factors of persistence, and
yes,
we can talk about that, or we can talk about our steps to getting to persistence. So if you would like, I can start with the factors.
That's excellent, but I would like to add something to what you just said.
Okay.
I would like to make sure, because I was one of those people, knew I was very good. I was consistent. I knew my business, but you know what I didn't know? I didn't know how to price. My first contract, mm-hmm, I presented the guy with the bill, and he said, "Oh, honey, I would have paid twice this for the service that you gave." I didn't know what the value of my services were.
That is also a great point. A lot of times, especially as small businesses, we undervalue and underestimate what our value is because we want to get in the door. So we underprice ourselves. Another thing is sometimes when we don't know what we're doing, we overprice. So we have to, again, look at the industry that we're in, look at that particular part of that industry, take notes and get other people to give you pricing on the kinds of aspects that are needed to do your work. Okay, if you're installing windows, there are several factors that go along with that, as well as buying the actual product. You have to install the windows. There are certain things and materials that go along with that. So you need to get all your pieces, break down what you're doing, and then add a fee for the installation of whatever it is that you're doing, especially in construction. So we have to be very valuable and very cautious of the value. The other thing is on the professional services side, we definitely undervalue our knowledge and our skills to get that knowledge and the experience that we bring with that knowledge. So professional services and various services are very hard to price, but we have to look at the market, see what that market will bear, and understand and know, number one, what other people are charging and what people pay. So that pricing is definitely something that we need to work on with our small businesses.
Thank you. I just wanted to add that because that was a major mistake that I had when I started out. And unfortunately, I bumped along because I didn't have a mentor. And so I made that mistake for a long time in terms of undervaluing myself and then one time overvaluing. So I thank you very much. That was very good. So Deborah, we're talking about persistence today, and we want to get down to the basics of persistence. A lot of people just think, all I have to do is put my head down and just fight my way through, but it's not. You have to have a definiteness of purpose. Knowing what one wants is the first thing, perhaps most important thing, but you also have to understand your motivation behind that. Can you talk to us about that?
Okay, what I would like to do is to say to the listening audience that there are 8 factors that we must bring in our mindset as we start persisting on what we're doing. Again, we need to be consistent and practice doing this over and over again. And that in itself gives us the persistence. I remember an old saying that says, practice makes perfect, but I would like to add, and I learned this in a workshop, perfect practice makes perfect. Because we can be doing the wrong thing in the right way or the right thing in the wrong way, and we come out with the an outcome that is not favorable to ourselves and to our clients. So the first thing that we need to do is look at the 8 factors of persistence. And that goes right back to our main theme of the book, the purpose. Understand the purpose for which we are doing the thing. And the thing for us is building our small business. The next thing is that we definitely have to go back to a desire. A desire and the thought that we come up with to develop. We have to be self-reliant, everything that we do. We have to have a definite plan for how we're going to get there, a roadmap. Okay, I look at community development and economic development, and we develop plans. We do comprehensive plans, and those plans sometimes are spread out over a 25-year period. But it's been broken down into smaller incremental pieces, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and then that one-year plan. So we must do the same thing. A lot of times our businesses don't have that definite plan, so we become people say that we're not serious simply because they can't see where we're going because we don't know where we're going. If we have a definite plan, we will begin with the end in mind. And as we get to that end in mind, then we know how to step back from this and go incrementally forward. We must be developing accurate knowledge. We cannot work with information that is not factual, that is not true, and that is not tested. So accurate knowledge is very important to developing our persistence because we don't want to be persistently doing something that may be outdated, maybe not as correct, maybe not ethical. So accurate knowledge, factual information is what we need. Then we must move on to cooperation. We have to cooperate. Our industry does not revolve around us as a single business or a single individual in that business. It depends on several entities, several people, several sub-industries in the industry that we work in. So as we develop our businesses, we must know all of the things that go into that, the rules, the regulations, the laws that govern that particular industry. And we must cooperate. We must buy the licenses. We must have the proper insurance. We must have all of the things that go into making us safe, sound, and secure as we develop our projects. Then that is the thing we talked about last week, which is willpower. We must have willpower. We must have stick-to-itness, even when things are going wrong and look like there is no way out. We have to have willpower. And the last thing is habit. We develop all kinds of habits, and a lot of times those habits are based on negative things. I can't do this. I can't do that. And it's based on fear. And we fear that we can't do the thing that we want to do. And that thing is developing that business so that it becomes a well-oiled machine. So our habits, again, are developed based on all of the 7 things that we talked about before, because if those things are out of line, then the habit that we develop will be a negative habit. And negative habits are easier for us to act on than positive habits. So we have to practice and we have to talk to ourselves in positive terms to make sure that the habits we develop will give us the proper outcome, a positive outcome, and leads us to success.
Well, that was
those
excellent.
Factors are very important.
That's excellent. I'm going to make sure that we do have a number of callers that are listening this morning. I want to make sure that we remind everyone that all they have to do is push 1 on their phone, on their keypad on their phone, so that we can see that their hand is raised. We'll open your
okay.
mic and you can ask a question to Deborah.
All right.
So we want to just make sure that everybody knows that they're able to ask a question. And I don't want to exclude Carol. Carol, did you have a follow-up for Deborah? Deborah, I thought that everything that you talk about in terms of persistence were absolutely great. So how do people get that mindset that they are going, you have the plan, how do you make the leap, though? I'm going to give you a specific example. We have a person mm-hmm. that was here. I'm going to say these people are bakers, and it's also in a small town. Well, mm-hmm. there's been this long-term baker, right? Well, a new one mm-hmm. started. And they were making money. I mean, they were making money. They were doing this. They were doing that. But they also still had their jobs. And they couldn't make the leap. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
I can leave this job. They were afraid. They were at a crossroads of making the final decision of being fully persistent, fully dug in. So how do you have that mindset of being able to make that final leap of going into the next level of persistence and digging in?
Well, I think that I can use myself, and several other people have probably had the same thing. Once, especially if we start with a job, we become very comfortable with the salary. We know it's coming on a consistent basis. We know that it is there when we need it. And a lot of business opportunities, inconsistent as far as generating money sometimes. It takes a while for us to get to the point to where we build the business to a point to where it does things on a consistent, regular basis like we are accustomed to. And that goes back to, again, our mindset. And if we can't change our mindsets based on, again, some of the 8 things that we talked about, and that accurate knowledge is most important, because if we leap into faith and not have the accurate knowledge, then we're not going to succeed. So, again, we must develop a mindset of faith based on accurate knowledge, and we must have done our homework, and we must move, strategically to the next level. Each step is a strategic step, and we must already know that the platform is there for us to step on, okay, because we've placed it there. Okay, a lot of times when we want to do things, we don't set the road in the right path. Okay, so we have to go ahead and make sure that the things that we are doing are tested and they exist. And if they don't exist, that we have the ability to create them. Okay, so to make a leap of faith, we have to know that we can create the path that we are trying to go on. And we must have self-confidence, we must have the self-esteem, and we must have the basic knowledge to make it all come together.
Oh, that's great. Well, okay, we're in the 5-minute mark here, so let's go on. I thought that was awesome, and I'm so sorry that I really want to jump into what you just said. But let's go ahead and do those factors, those stepping stones of persistence.
Okay.
And then we'll double back.
Okay. All right. To develop persistence, again, we must have a purpose. Everything begins with a purpose. I don't know if you know that most corporations, and what we try to teach small businesses, is to develop a mission, develop a vision statement, and develop a purpose. Why are you here? Why are you doing this thing now at this time in your life? Why are we here? And a lot of times we have done a lot of work to get where we are. We go to school. We gain knowledge. We become who we are as adults. And as adults, we react to things differently than we do when we're much younger. And a lot of times I think we forget that. Do what we call a look back. we can take the information that we have around the purpose and look at what how we think about things now as opposed to how we used to look at things. And one of my favorite quotes right now is that the way we change things is to look at it differently. And if you will know that if the way you look at things change, the things around you begin to change. Okay, so we must have a definite purpose. Again, a plan. How are we going to get there? People say, let's have a roadmap. Let's have a way to get to where we're going. We have to have the vehicle that's going to move us along on this plan, along this road. We must have a closed mind, which means we must focus on the thing that we want to do. And the thing for small businesses is to develop a strong, viable commercial operation. Okay? Small businesses that are in business to do business in a commercial and capitalistic society must be money driven. They must provide a good service. The person who provides a great product or a great service will generate money. So we must have a closed mind on that, and we must keep consistent for a period of time to make sure that the thing, the small business, the product, the service that we have has a chance for the customer base to develop to generate the funds that we need to sustain it. Then we must have friendly alliances. And friendly alliances means only that the group of people that you put around you, that core group of people has to be an extension of yourself. They must buy into your purpose. They must buy into your mission. They must buy into your vision. A lot of times we get lose focus simply because we listen to people who are not on the same plane that we're on, and they throw us off course. We must be consistent and develop a friendly alliance of cooperative people who think like we think, who want what we want, and who are willing to work on the plan that the owner, the creator, has developed. And when we think of the creator, we think of this earth. And one of the things that I've learned in some of my reading is that if we can get into the rhythm, the breathing, the actual movement of the earth and its, how do you say, vicissitudes, then we will be successful. We cannot go against the Creator. We cannot go against the laws of nature. They are set, they are there, and we have to fit into them. And we do the same thing with small businesses as we develop our products, services, and the people that we bring around us to have a like mind to take us forward with our business.
Deborah, that was excellent. We have 2 minutes, but I would like to double back as to what you just started. I'd like for you to take a minute, please, and talk to us about developing that mindset and fitting in. That was very interesting because a lot of times I know that I made this mistake and I've seen other people make mistakes. Because you were trying to create a niche for yourself, you almost come in like a bulldog, you know, or one of those bulls that just come in breaking things because you're trying to create a space and trying to show people, I can do this, I know what I'm doing, I this and I. Okay? But you created something, you operated on a higher level. So if you could you take just a minute or so to be able to express that, please?
Well, there are many, how do you say, schools of thought out there about how you enter into a market. Okay, and when you enter a market, you've got to develop a niche for that market. in the commercial, in the capitalistic society, we again bring our friendly alliances along with us because we don't want to go out there by ourselves. So that's why training, development, and things like orientation on a job is very important. And we must think along those same lines in our small businesses. If you know when you went to take a job, they took time to train you. You went through what they call a period of orientation so that you could learn and understand the culture. Sometimes when we move into a market, if we're going to be bullish on that market, we better be Merrill Lynch. They knew they were going into it. We call these types of businesses disruptors. Okay, and when you enter into a market that you're going to disrupt it, then everything that you have must be in place. All of the mechanisms that make this thing work, your money, your skills, the knowledge base, everything must be so tight that no one can break it. Because if not, you're going to lose in that market because that already existing market is going to resist that disruption. Being bullish on America, being bullish on your business, being bullish, and let's take Merrill Lynch, because if you know they have those bulls coming, but when they have those bulls moving, they know they're going to take over that market. So those are the kinds of things that we have to have in our mind. We need to move strategically. We must have all of the things that we talked about in place, our five steps to persistence. We must know what the factors of this persistence are and what they do in the industry that we're representing, because if we don't, can't reach that success that we want. We must use all of the things that we have in our power and the people around us to help us get to where we're going. Because now that service or product must be for the general welfare of a group of people. We must be looking at a need and we must be looking at the demand for the service or product that we are bringing into that market.
Deborah, your conversation has been so interesting. I hope you don't mind. We extended the show for probably another 10 minutes. I'm going to go into a commercial break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about another point that you made. Let's go to commercial break, and I'll be right back.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
And we're back. Deborah, your conversation was so interesting as regards to starting your business and then coming into the market. I thought that was interesting because it's almost that frame of mind now to be very bullish, to come in with that that I mindset and everything about me. But persistence is kind of bullish because you have to have everything set. You do have to be persistent, but you brought a new dimension there. You have created a new dimension. Can we talk about that for just a few seconds? And that can take us I would like to talk about that for just a second, and then we'll close down the show because I know that I extended the show and didn't even ask you if I could extend the show. So I'd just like to take a few more minutes because that's really important. That's really important, not only for people that are seasoned, but for that new young mindset that's coming into the business mindset. The IMA and NABWIC have been have their eye always toward developing new businesses. And, you know, people develop new businesses in different times of life, but you have a younger set that is developing that says, I want to go into business early. So it's really, really important that they put their foot in the road, as you mentioned, going in the right direction.
Yes, it's very important that you get on the right road and get in the right direction, because if we get on two things there, if we get on the wrong road and go in the right direction, then we're going in the wrong way. And if we get on the right road and if we get on the wrong road and go in the right direction, we're still not going to make it where we want to go. So we have to do our homework and get things laid out properly before we get started. And again, we have to begin with the end in mind. One of the things that I am very keen on right now is to making sure that in the business plans that I work write and work with people on, have a succession plan. And I know we've talked about that particular piece of a plan, but we never really prepared for it as small businesses. Sometimes we think about it and sometimes we don't. And it's one of Covey's steps to highly effective people, and that is to begin with the end in mind. Most times we set up a red flag in our businesses when people ask us where we're going, why did you start this business, where are you taking this business, and we don't know that. We don't know that. So we must say, at the end of the time that I spend in this business, the business will dissolve. At the time that I'm going to sell it. At the time that I am finished with my business, I'm going to give it to my children or to my heirs or to another business to operate. People then know that you're going to be here for a while because you have thought about what will happen in 5, 10 to 15 years down the road. It is impossible for you to convince someone to do business with you when they don't think you're going to be around. If you say to a person, oh, I just started this business because I didn't want to work for somebody, that's not a legitimate, acceptable answer in this day and time. That's a good reason for you, but it's not a good reason for the customer base that you're trying to attract. Because people want to do business with the same business over and over again, not a business that's not going to be here a year from now. And how many times, just think about it, how many times have you seen a business that you thought, oh, this was nice, it's a new business, it's different from all the rest, and then when you go back, it's not there. So we must take that into consideration. And a lot of times we don't think about that. But bankers, investors, they all want you to be there for the long haul. Okay, you can't go to a banker and say, I want to borrow some money. I want $100,000. Well, they know the likelihood of the type of business that you're doing is not going to generate that $100,000 in the next 30 days so that you can pay them back. So it's going to be spread out over a period of time. So if you spread it out over a five-year period, say when you're buying a car, and you don't have the money or you don't generate the income from your business to pay for the car or the vehicle for your business, you're not going to be there. So they can see far ahead of you that you are not going to be here to generate the money to pay us back in 5 years. So you're not going to get the loan. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. And the reason why it makes a lot of sense is because how many people have I heard that used almost the exact words that you used? And it's not even, and they used that even when they weren't even asked. Yeah, I got out here and I didn't want to work for anybody else, so I just took command of my own time. I needed to make more money, and I knew it was all about what was good for me, instead of the service that I could provide. People want to hear about the service.
You're correct. Another author that I aspire to be like is Earl Nightingale. And Earl Nightingale says that you will receive the benefits that generate the income in direct proportion to the service or product that you give.
You know what? We are counting down now, and this is what I would like to for you to do to take us out. You started off, this is interesting, because you were going in a direction I was going to ask you, and you talked about the book. I always like to, naturally, one of the primary books that we read is Think and Grow Rich, but we yes. also read in different areas of our life to prop us up and keep us on that path. I would like for you to talk to us as we part. You tell us about the book, the book that impacted you the most, and then I would like for you to give us the words that you have given, the businesses that you have consulted with. What do you find that you need to tell them that is most important to propel them? How would you like for us to, what important words would you like to leave us with? And after you tell us those important words, we will close out and we will give our final information about the IMA.
Okay, great. Well, I think IMA is the basis for a lot of things that went on in our country and the development of it, and in the development of this whole movement to help people help themselves through building self-esteem and self-confidence. And again, one of my authors, along with Napoleon Hill, is Earl Nightingale, who not only wrote books but did a lot of speaking engagements. And the favorite theme that he works around is the strangest secret. And it goes right back to Think and Grow Rich, about how we think about things. And Earl Nightingale says that the strangest secret is that we become what we think about most of the time. So we must infuse our mind, body, and soul with positive thinking, positive thoughts entered into our subconscious to bring them back into our conscious mind. We must have that back and forth movement, so in tune with our breathing, so in tune with the laws of nature that we cannot fail. So let's think and grow rich. Think, because what you think about is what you become.
Very good. I appreciated that. I'm writing that right now, Carol. I just want you to know how much I appreciated this short time that we have been together. Every time that I have worked with you, every time that I have talked to you, I have learned something. I smile when I know that I'm going to have time with you. I don't ever tell you, but you're one of those people that I always get a nugget of truth. So I want now that I have thought it, I have been able to speak it. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit